me. It's a cold night for here. That's nearly light, Mr. Cruncher. There's hard frost on the ground. I say give it up, Jerry Cruncher. At the night, we have a client, Mr. Rover. A connection, as we say at the bank. We have a connection and we have a subject and we have a duty, Mr. Rover. Shh. Hold on. Who's that over there? Past the boneyard, you see him?
A drunk.
God bless me if I don't know that face. That's the man talked out a desperate spoiling was going to happen in the bailey. Hanging, drawing and quartering of a finer body of a man. A waste of a man if it... See him. And that face. Dear God.
Davy, sir. A cold one.
Is it? I'd not noticed.
It's him, all right. And a face. Like a desert. As if he's seen the world and all it was and seen it for nothing but a winding sheet and a long box. And no resurrection for him. Such a face. You see his eyes?
No, never seen nothing, Jerry Cruncher.
He had tears. Mr. Carton, he had tears a-starting. Was that drink? Or what he seen, I wonder? We've got work to do, Mr. Roper. Come on. And stay dumb, my friend. Do you hear me?
Who will I say, sir?
Mr. Lorry knows me.
To be sure he may, sir, but I do not. And Tellson's Bank has its ways, sir. Your name, if you please.
Darnay.
Thank you, sir. If you'll follow me, sir. Mr. Darnay, sir.
Hmm? Mr. Lorry. Good day, sir.
Oh, Mr. Darnay. Good day to you, sir.
The devil! What a place this is for dark corners and unlikely steps.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Darnay. We have a connection, calls it the triumphant perfection of inconvenience. Oh, have a care before you sit, sir.
I beg your pardon, sir. I didn't see you. Is there no light in Tellson's Bank, Mr. Lorry?
Oh, bless you, we see well enough to fill our ledgers, to countersign checks and bills, to unlock strong rooms and boxes and read the wills and... Oh, but bless you, sir, nothing changes at Tellson's. It is its strength, Mr. Darnay, I assure you. No frivolity.
Business, no sentiment. Business is all.
Sir, you may mock me in the Manette's garden every Sunday if you will. I am sure it may amuse Mr. Stryver well enough. It may even bring a smile to Mr. Carton's face, though even he may not wish to mock an old man. But though it give the whole company pleasure there, sir, not in Tellson's. Business is all here, sir.
I beg your pardon, sir.
I'm sure you find my ways amusing. The young, Mr. Darnay, are a long time learning what their elders have already learned. The more's the pity, perhaps.
You're cross, sir.
Oh, no, indeed. If Miss Manette is amused...
She is very fond, Mr. Lorry. Very attached, I think.
Yes, well, what can Tellson's do for you, sir?
I hope that what I say will be in confidence.
Mr. Darnay, this is Tellson's Bank, sir.
I am sorry. No. I have some business takes me to France in the very near future.
France? Is that wise?
It is a matter of duty, Mr. Lorry. A matter of honor. A matter of finishing something, cutting a cord. I want, if it is possible, some letters of credit.
Yeah.
Not for much. After all, I have very little to bless myself with since leaving France.
No, of course. You wish for credit at our Paris branch?
Exactly so.
It is done.
Oh,
no, it is done, sir. We are much obliged to you for your custom, Mr. Darnay. May I, perhaps I may be permitted an observation?
Of course.
To go to France at this time can hardly be the act of a wise man. There is unrest. Considerable unrest. Not only in Paris, but Marseille, Lyon, and Toulouse also.
Be that as it may, I have to go. It is hardly true to say that the English mob is quiet, Mr. Lorry. They bark and yelp and growl, do they not?
An English mob, sir, is not the same.
Then I must beg to differ. But I thank you for your concern. Between us, Mr. Lorry. I will take no more of your time.
It is always a pleasure.
What happens to the ledgers and papers and deeds and wills and family histories in the end? Here.
Happens, sir? The end? They are kept, Mr. Darnay, in case.
In case?
To be sure.
Buried?
Oh, yes, bless you. Of course. Death, in case you had not observed it, is in vogue.
I never knew you for a philosopher, Mr. Lorry.
Not at all. A man of business. Death is nature's remedy for all things. All things. Forgers are put to death. The utterer of a bad note is put to death. The unlawful opener of a letter, death. The purloiner of 40 shillings and 6 pence, death. The holder of a horse at the door of Tellson's Bank who makes off with it, put to death. A coiner who makes a bad shilling, death. Tellson's is accustomed, therefore, to death, sir. Last letters, first letters, children's and lovers' letters, kept, buried here. As you say, business does not end with death, Mr. Darnay. Never.
I see. Will you see Miss Manette this evening, sir? I know you to be in the habit of passing by the house.
I may.
I had promised myself the pleasure of calling this evening, if they are at home.
Well, I'm sure they will be happy to see you. I will perhaps give myself the pleasure of calling. I have some business with Dr. Manette. This evening, then, we may meet.
And not a word about France?
This is...
Tellson's, to be sure.
And in the palaces and court of France they play their pretty games of maids and shepherds. Who carries the chocolate pot and who the napkin? Who mills the chocolate and who froths it? Ride through us to their opera and comedy. Ignore us. Save the plunderers. Power and pleasure.
Go on. Go on. Carry your canes with golden apples on the top. Wear your powdered wigs and piss in corners and play your games. Plunder and forage and ignore us. Take officers you're unfitted for.
Military officers with no knowledge of soldiering. Naval officers with no idea of a ship. Civil officers with no notion of affairs.
Monseigneur is disgraced.
Monseigneur sent to the country.
Monseigneur swore he would never, never
shave.
What will Monseigneur do?
No tailor, no clothes.
No perfume.
Priests of the worst world, worldly. With sensual eyes, loose tongues, and looser livers. All of the order of Monseigneur, who rides away disgraced to the country and ignores us.
Out. Out of favor. I devote them all. I devote them to the devil. Faster, damn you, faster! Drive on, damn you, drive on. What's wrong?
Beg pardon, Monsieur Le Marquis. It is a child. The carriage wheel crushed the child.
Why does he make that abominable noise? Is it his child?
Oh, excuse me, Monsieur Le Marquis. It is his. Yes.
Exquisite gentleman of the finest breeding. With wives who would never own to being mothers. Perfectly dressed. Such frizzling and powdering and sticking up of hair. Such gallant complexions, artificially preserved and mended. Such gallant swords to look at. And such delicate honour to the sense of smell would surely keep going for ever and ever. They wear little pendant trinkets that chink as they move, and never, never recognise us. And Monsieur le Marquis goes his way to the country.
Dead! Killed!
It's extraordinary to me that you people cannot take care of yourselves and your children. What damage have you done my horses? Here.
He throws a gold coin for the valet to pick up.
Dead! My son! Oh, my son!
It's all right, Gaspar. It's all right, I know. No, Gaspar. It was surely better for the poor little plaything to die so than to live. It died in a moment. No pain. Could he have lived an hour as happily?
My son, my friend, my son.
You there. You're a philosopher. How do they call you?
They call me Defarge.
Of what trade?
Vendor of wine, Monsieur le Marquis.
Well, pick that up, philosopher and vendor of wine. Spend it as you will. The horses, are they right? What's this? Hold! Hold the horses! Who threw that? Who threw that back? You dogs. I would exterminate you from the earth. If I knew which of you threw that coin, he'd be crushed under my wheels. Damn you. Drive on!
And the whole fancy ball drove by. Minister, state protector, farmer, general, doctor, lawyer, ecclesiastic, grand opera and comedy. And the rats crept out of their holes to look on. And they remained looking for hours. The father, poor Gaspar, took up his bundle to hide himself away with it. And one woman sat quiet and knitted with the steadfastness of fate.
My wife.
As sure as fate, Defarge. As sure as fate. He's knitted in. And sure as rivers run, death will run also. Call Jacques. Spread the word, Defarge.
And Monsieur le Marquis rode away into the country and was followed by dark shadows and a man. Jacques.
Oh, no, you must not laugh at me, Mr. Ned.
Oh, I was not laughing at you, Mr. Downey, believe me. But after all these weeks, you know by now how Miss Pross protects me.
Not sure if Miss Manette is receiving. I'm sure the doctor is too busy. Miss Lucy is forever being pestered by young men.
Oh, no, sir.
I'll not have the child invaded by young scoundrels and wasters.
No, sir, you go too far. Miss Pross never said such a thing.
Is Dr. Manette at home?
Expected.
Miss Pross?
I think, well, sir, she is at home, as you might say, sir, but as to whether she's receiving...
Sir, Mr. Lloyd.
Oh, Miss Pross, the gentleman was asking if you were at home, Miss Pross.
Yes, yes, to be sure, Mary, thank you. Oh, I'm sure I don't know what the world is coming to, Mr. Lorry. I am forever answering this door and letting into the house persons I've no wish to have pestering my darling child. Oh, come in, and stop dithering on the step, sir.
If you are sure, Miss Pross.
Would I ask you to step inside if I was not sure? Yes. The doctor is in his study and will be out presently when I tell him you are here.
Then I'll find my way into the garden, Miss Pross.
The garden, Mr. Lorry, is occupied by 100 young men pestering my little bird. I really do not know what will become.
100, Miss Pross?
Oh, you. I shall tell the doctor. I suppose supper.
I wouldn't put you to any trouble, my dear lady.
Trouble, is it? Trouble. You may speak with me for a moment before we call them for supper.
I am at your service, Miss Pross.
Fiddlesticks to that. Now, how do you do?
I'm pretty well, I thank you. How are you?
Nothing to boast of?
Indeed.
Ah, indeed. I am very much put out about my ladybird.
Indeed?
Oh, for gracious sake, say something else besides indeed, or you'll fidget me to death.
Really, then?
Really is bad enough, but better. Yes. Yes, I'm very much put out.
May I ask the cause?
I don't want dozens of people who are not worthy of Lady Bird to come here looking for her.
You said hundreds.
I did. I mean hundreds.
Dear me.
I have lived with the darling, or the darling has lived with me and paid me for it. which she certainly never should have done. You may take my affidavit if I could have afforded to keep either myself or her for nothing since she was 10 years old. It's very hard. Mm. All sorts of people, not in the least degree worthy of the petter, always turning up. And you began it.
I?
Finding her father, bringing him to life. You began it.
If that began it, then I...
Well, it wasn't ending it, I suppose. Oh, I have no fault to find with Dr. Manette, except he is not worthy of such a daughter, which is no imputation to him, for it is not to be expected that anyone could be. Save my brother Solomon, and he made a mistake in life, and, well, only him.
Her brother Solomon was as heartless a scoundrel as existed. He took all she owned as a stake to speculate with, and then abandoned her to poverty. Not a touch of compunction to it. A mistake in life, indeed. Ruined her. Tell me, Miss Pross, does the doctor ever, when talking to Lucy, refer to the shoemaking time?
Never.
Yet keeps the bench and the tools close by?
I don't say he does not refer to it within himself.
I wonder, Miss Pross, do you imagine...
Never imagine anything. Have no imagination at all.
I stand corrected. Do you suppose... you go so far as to suppose sometimes.
Now and then.
Do you suppose that Dr. Manette has any theory of his own as to why he was so oppressed? Perhaps even the name of his oppressor.
I don't suppose anything about it but what Lady Bird tells me.
And that is?
That she thinks he has.
Now, don't be angry with my asking all these questions. I am a mere dull man of business, and you are a woman of business.
Dull?
Dull. No, surely not. Don't you feel it remarkable that the good doctor, unquestionably innocent of any crime, should never touch upon that question? Not even with me, though we are intimate, but with his fair daughter. I do not ask out of curiosity, but... out of deep interest.
To the best of my understanding, and Babs the best, he's afraid of the whole subject.
Afraid?
Well, plain enough why he may be. It's a dreadful remembrance. Besides that, his loss of himself grew out of it, not knowing how he lost himself or how he recovered himself. He may never feel certain of not losing himself again. That alone wouldn't make the subject pleasant, I'd think.
And he says nothing.
Mr. Lorry, touch that string and he changes for the worse. He seems better now, but I know he is best left alone on that. He walks at night. We hear him, and my little lady goes to him and walks with him, up and back, up, like in his old prison, she says. They walk in silence. And eventually her love and company brings him to himself. Oh, you see? We shall see hundreds of people.
Good evening. Don't fuss. I expected our Miss Lorry. Good evening to you. And a pleasant one it is, and no error. Will we go up? Oh, good evening, Miss...
Pross, yes. Go up, and I will tell the doctor you are here.
I'm afraid of her, and that's the truth.
Her bark is worse than her bite, believe me. And if you are to continue to visit us, you will have to become used to her, I'm afraid.
Then I shall. But I ring the bell and she stands there like the wrath of the Lord, and I shall always be afraid.
You will stay for supper?
I had hoped you'd ask me.
You need never hope, Mr. Darling. You are always welcome to eat here with us.
Thank you. It is so peaceful here, Miss Manette.
It will not be for long, I think. Mr. Lorry is to join us for dinner. And Mr. Carton said he might call, and I think Mr. Stryver.
Oh, I see.
We shall be a merry party, Mr. Downing. Mr. Lorry is here on a matter of business. Business, Miss Manette, no sentiment. He is a sweet old man.
Indeed he is.
And a good friend. Without his help and encouragement, my father would never have taken up medicine again.
Your father is well?
As well as may be, I think. And almost happy.
Almost, Miss Manette?
From time to time, he seems to remember what he came from and sink back into dark thoughts. But those grow less, thank heaven.
He never talks about it?
Not to anyone, no. Come along. We must go in, or Miss Pross will give you sour looks and frighten you entirely to death.
No, hanging's too good for them, to tell the truth, sir. The mob should be faced with the grenadiers and their rough-shot and bayonets and do the trick.
Come, Mr. Stryver, sir. Cruelty never served any man.
I swear it. The mob makes too much noise, too much disturbance. I care not a hoot for the price of bread, nor yet the price of shoes. And they care nothing for that item either, I'll swear, for they wear none.
It's always those who have more than enough shout loudest. Don't you find, Miss Manette?
I'm sure I do not know, Mr. Garfield. Miss Pross.
Lucy.
I think we can attempt the fish.
Miss Pross was a pleasant sight, albeit wild and red and grim. The sight of her and her darling Lucy was pleasant, too. Taking too much trouble or too little or being too kind or generous. And a pleasant sight was Dr. Manette telling Miss Pross she spoiled Lucy in accents and with eyes that had as much spoiling in them as Miss Pross had. And I hope I was a pleasant sight. And I know I thanked my bachelor stars for having lighted me to a home.
Oh, Mr. Darnay, I hope it will not be for long.
A week, two, perhaps.
Away, sir. May one ask where away?
Abroad, Mr. Carton.
Abroad, indeed. Poor time to be abroad, I hear.
It is a matter of business. A matter of honor, you might say.
Honor? No, sir, I would not say. Mr. Stryver will tell you.
Where will you be going?
Indeed, I will.
I beg your pardon, sir. I had no wish to pry.
No, I am sure.
Miss Pross, were you responsible for the fish?
I was. I am.
May I congratulate you?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Miss Pross ravaged Soho in search of impoverished French, tempted them with her half-crowns and shillings to impart their culinary mysteries to her. There were those below stairs thought her a sorceress or Cinderella's godmother. For didn't she take fowl, rabbit, vegetable, or fish and turn them into anything she pleased?
We'll have rain before the evening's out.
You are dull, Mr. Garton.
He is always dull, Miss Manette. Take no notice of him in this mood, Miss Lucy.
May we take the wine into the garden, Father? Make the most of the end of the day, please.
As everything turned upon her and revolved about her, we went out under the plane tree, and she carried the wine down for me. She was my cupbearer, she said. And we sat quietly in the garden. Save Miss Pross, who suddenly became afflicted with a twitching in the head and body, and retired to the house.
The jerks. Mr. Lorry, I'm afflicted with it. A fit of the jerks is not uncommon for me.
May I assist you?
No. I'll go to my room, and it will recede. With luck.
Having been to the tower, as you know, not as a visitor, but, well, in another character, they told me a curious thing when I was there.
Tell us.
In making some alterations, the workmen had come upon an old dungeon, which had, for many years, been built up and forgotten. Every stone covered with dates and names, complaints and prayers, carved by the prisoners. Upon a cornerstone, in a hole of the wall, one prisoner, who seemed to have been condemned to execution, had cut his last work, three letters, D-I-G. Our records were searched, but no record or legend of any prisoner with those initials could be found. Then it was suggested the initials were but the letters of one word, dig. Beneath the earth below the stone so marked was found the ashes of a small leather case or bag, and in it the ashes of a paper. What the unknown prisoner had written will never be read, of course.
As he listened, Dr. Manette started. He put his hand to his head. He stared for a moment wildly about at the company, not seeing them, and then...
My father, you are ill.
No, my dear, not... There are large drops of rain falling, and they made me start. We'd better go in.
The night was very sultry, and though we sat with doors and windows open, the heat stifled us, and the sound of footsteps echoed from the streets.
I must leave you, Miss Manette. Doctor, gentlemen, my papers call me.
Good night, sir.
A lawyer's work is never done, Miss Manette.
So it seems, Mr. Garton. And yours?
Mine, Miss Burnett, seems never to begin.
There was a great hurry in the streets, of people speeding away to get shelter before the storm broke. The wonderful corner resounded with the echoes of footsteps, coming and going.
I have sometimes sat here of an evening, listening, until I've made the echoes out to be the echoes of all the footsteps that are coming by and by into our lives. You are not listening, Mr. Lorry. I shall pour no more wine for you.
There is a great crowd coming one day into our lives, if that be so.
Do they come for all of us, Miss Minette, or are we to divide them among us?
I don't know. It was a foolish fancy.
The storm broke in a rush and roar of rain and thunder, and then, as the moon rose, it stopped, and we went our ways.
Good night, Mr. Carton. Good night, Mr. Darnay. Shall we ever see such a night again? Together.
Good night, Mr. Lorry.
Well, sir, good night.
What a night.
Mr. Darnay, where are you going this journey?
I? To France.
I see. Well, I'm sure you know your business, sir, but I suggest your interest may lie here in London.
It may, sir, but my duty, for the moment, lies in France. Good night.
Duty? France. How I do hate him.
Sweetness and hope to thee do we cry, poor banished children. To thee.
Monsieur le Marquis! Monsieur le Marquis! Monsieur le Marquis! Please, Monseigneur, a petition.
Get out of Monsieur le Marquis's way!
Monsieur le Marquis, hear me, please.
Oh, for the love of God, more petitions. What is it?
My husband, the forester.
You cannot pay, I suppose.
He has paid all, monsieur. He's dead.
Well, can I restore him to you?
Monsieur, he lies there under a heap of grass, a mound, unmarked. So many here do.
Again, well?
Excuse me, monsieur le marquis. Out of the way!
We are all dying, monseigneur. We die of want, you of age. I ask only a morsel of wood or stone to mark my husband's name, or when I die the same, no one will find him to lay me by his side.
Drive on.
Monseigneur! Monseigneur! Monseigneur!
He is knitted in. Tell them, Defarge. Tell them.
Disgraced. Sent away.
We'll track them down.
Destroy the whole tribe of them. All of them, in my list, always. Jacques, warn Jacques.
La France. Poor, poor France. A beautiful landscape with the corn bright in it, but not abundant. Patches of poor rye where corn should have been. Patches of poor peas and beans. Patches of most coarse vegetable substitutes for wheat. As for the people, so cowed their condition, and so long and hard their experience of what such a man as my uncle could do to them within the law and beyond it, they would never raise so much as an eye to those who oppressed them.
Rivers, rivers of blood will pay. They shall pay. That child
will be avenged. Jacques has been told. Easy enough to leave a country that is not your own. To leave a love not yet your own is harder. Duty, Charles. Duty and honor first, and being clean.
Monsieur le Marquis, the window.
Leave it. The evening air is sweet enough.
I have left your supper as you ordered, Monsieur le Marquis.
Very well. You...
Sir?
There was a man beside the fountain in the village when I rode through this afternoon. Not known. I ordered he be watched and moved on. Was it done?
If Monsieur le Marquis so ordered.
Was it done? I'll have no vagabonds on my land. Blue cap. filthy. Who was he?
I will inquire, Monseigneur.
Time is coming, friends. The time is nearly ripe. And when it is judged ripe, you will be ready. There are those need to be torn down. Those need removing from the face of the earth they claim to own. You work the land. You till the soil. You sacrifice your lives and bodies and children. And he sits. Oh, he sits in glory and sniffs oranges and eats your very hearts. The time is coming and we will call you all. My name? Jacques is my name. Remember, we will call you all Jacques.
Got it. Finished. Take up the second paragraph of my note and you'll destroy his case. Simple.
You're a miracle worker and no error, Sidney. Mm. You know, I sometimes wonder, Stryver... I say to myself, I admit it, Stryver, I say, where would you have been without Sidney Carton? On the other hand, where indeed would he have been without Stryver? A musical instrument. You pluck a string and we vibrate as one.
Stop confusing me and pass the glass.
Sidney, I have something to say to you.
I'm too tired. I cannot con another...
No, not that. We're clear to the vacation now. Nothing to worry us until November and the session's open.
Oh, and I have reason to celebrate a little. We will have more punch. Your health and mine.
Now listen to me. Sidney, stop drinking for a moment and listen, dammy.
No, sir.
I am going to tell you something that will rather surprise you. Perhaps make you think me not quite as shrewd as you usually think me.
Oh, really?
I intend to marry...
Do you?
Yes. And not for money. What do you say now?
I don't feel disposed to say much. Who is she?
Guess.
Do I know her?
Guess.
I cannot guess at 5 o'clock in the morning with my brains frying and sputtering in my head. If you want me to guess, you must ask me to dinner.
Then I shall tell you. Sidney, I rather despair of making myself intelligible to you because you're such an insensible dog.
Oh, and you are such a sensitive and poetical spirit.
Now, come now, though I don't prefer any claim to being the soul of romance, for I hope I know better, still I am a tenderer sort of fellow than you are.
You are luckier if you mean that.
Ah, I mean I'm more of a man. More.
Say, gallant, while you're about it.
Well, I will. I am. I'm a man who cares more to be agreeable, who takes more pains to be agreeable, who knows better how to be agreeable in woman's society than you do.
Go on.
All right, before I go on, I'll have this out with you, sir. You have been to Dr. Manette's house as much as I have, or more than I have. Now, I've been ashamed of your moroseness there. Sullen, silent hangdog upon my soul, I have been ashamed of you, Sidney.
It should be very beneficial to a man in your practice at the bar to be ashamed of anything. Be obliged to me.
No, you are. It's my duty to tell you, Sidney. You're a devilish ill-conditioned fellow in that sort of society. You are a disagreeable fellow. But you look at me and you see a man with less need to be agreeable, being more independent in circumstances. Why do I do it?
I never saw you do it yet.
I do it because it is politic. I do it on principle. Look at me. Well, look at me. I get on.
You don't get on with your account of your matrimonial intentions. Keep to that. As to me, well, you never understand that I am incorrigible.
You have no business to be.
Who is the lady?
Ah. Now, don't let my announcement of the name make you uncomfortable. Sidney, I know you don't mean half you say, and if you did, it would be of no importance. I make this preface because you did once mention the young lady to me in slighting terms.
I did?
In these chambers. A golden-haired doll, you said.
Ah.
The young lady is, Miss Manette. Now, had you been a fellow of any sensitiveness or delicacy of feeling, I might have had a little resentment of your employing such a designation, but you are not. You want that sense altogether. Well, now you know all about it, Sidney. I don't care about fortune. She's a charming creature. I've made up my mind to please myself. On the whole, I think I can afford to please myself. She'll have a man and me already pretty well off, and a rapidly rising man, a man of some distinction. That's a piece of good fortune for her. But she is worthy of good fortune. Astonished?
Should I be?
You approve.
Why not?
You take him more easily than I fancied you would, and a less mercenary on my behalf than I thought you would be. But then, you know, your ancient chum. To be a man of strong will, I feel the need of home. Pleasant things about me. Miss Manette will always do me credit. So, my mind's made up. Now, a word about you and your prospects, Sidney. Oh. Now, old boy, you're in a bad way. You really are in a bad way. You don't know the value of money, you live hard, and you'll knock up one of these days and be ill and poor. You have to think about a nurse.
What?
Look it in the face, as I have, in my different way. Marry. Provide someone to take care of you. Never mind you having no enjoyment in women's society, nor understanding it, nor tact for it, as I have. Find out some respectable woman with a little property. Somebody in the landlady way. Lodging letting way. And marry her again a rainy day. Think of it, Sidney.
I will think of it. And Miss Doll...
Sidney.
Manette. You have told her your intentions, of course.
Not yet. Well, not yet. I will decide when to offer her my good self. During the week before Michaelmas term, be best?
Undoubtedly.
The chateau has not changed since I was a child, nor the miserable houses clustered around the fountain and the cross near its walls. It is a stony business altogether, with heavy stone balustrades, stone heads of lions and stone urns, stone flowers, stone faces of men. As if the Gorgon's head had surveyed it when it was finished 2 centuries ago. Is Monsieur, my uncle, still waiting for me?
Monsieur, he is. If you will come this way.
I was afraid again, as I had been when I was a child and came with my father. Rarely. My mother refused to come, I remember. I didn't understand then why. Now, well.
Monsieur had a good journey. Monsieur will go through the door, please.
Through corridors dark with age and disuse, the shadows dancing across old glass, stone busts, pictures. The flambeau went before, to Monsieur's private apartment. High vaulted rooms, rich curtains, tapestries and furniture of the last Louis but one of the line that was never to break. A supper table laid for two in the inner room, a round room in one of the chateau's 4 towers. I never came here before. The window wide open, and the wooden blinds closed to show the night only in slight horizontal lines of black, alternating with broad lines of stone colour.
You have been a long time coming?
I came direct.
Oh, pardon me. I mean not a long time on the journey, a long time intending the journey.
A man of about 60, handsomely dressed and haughty in manner. I have been detained by various business, Uncle.
No doubt. You will take coffee?
A face of transparent paleness. A face like a fine mask. The nose, beautifully formed otherwise, was very slightly pinched at the top of each nostril. In those 2 compressions, the only little change that the face ever showed resided. They would be occasionally dilated and contracted by something like a faint pulsation. Then they gave a look of treachery and cruelty to the whole countenance.
Your coffee, sir?
Thank you.
Good. Well,
I have come back, sir, pursuing the object that took me away. It carried me into great peril. But if it had carried me to death, I hope it would have sustained me.
Oh, not to death. It is not necessary to say to death.
I doubt, sir, whether if it had carried me to the utmost brink of death, you would have cared to stop me there.
Charles, you are your father's son. Would I...
Indeed, sir. For anything I know, you may have worked to give a more suspicious appearance to the circumstances that surrounded me.
In England? Is it likely?
I believe it to be at once your bad fortune and my good that has kept me out of prison in France here.
Perhaps you would explain.
I believe, were you not in disgrace at court, a letter de cachet would have sent me away to some fortress.
That is possible, yes. For the honor of the family, I could even resolve to... incommode you to that extent. You will have to excuse me.
So, happily for me, you are still out of favor.
I am, as you say, at a disadvantage. These little instruments of correction, these gentle aids to the power and honor of families, those slight favors that might so incommode you, are only to be obtained now by interest and importunity. France has changed for the worse.
You say, sir.
Our ancestors of not so long ago held the right of life and death over the surrounding vulgar. From this room, many of those dogs have been taken to be hanged. In the next room, my bedroom, I know for certain that one fellow was poniarded on the spot for some insolent delicacy respecting his daughter. His daughter. There is a new philosophy abroad. All bad, all very bad.
We have so abused our station that our name is the most detested name in France.
I hope so. Detestation of the high is the involuntary homage of the low.
Wherever I look in this country, I see faces marked by the dark deference of fear and slavery.
A compliment. Repression is the only lasting philosophy, my friend. Keep the dogs obedient to the whip. But now you must be tired.
A moment more, Uncle.
An hour, if you wish.
We have done wrong. Our family, whose honor is of so much account to both of us in different ways, has done wrong, injuring every human creature who came between us and our pleasure. It was so in my father's time, who was your twin. How to separate you from him, joint successor and inheritor.
Death has made the separation, my friend.
And left me tied to a system that is frightful to me. I only seek to execute the last request of my dying mother, who asked me to offer mercy and redress for all evil done.
You wait forever if you ask me to offer them.
So, I renounce this property and France.
You may no doubt renounce France, Charles. This property yet is mine.
I had no intention...
will be. For the next 20 years, I have the vanity to hope.
I will abandon it. It is a crumbling tower of waste, mismanagement, extortion, debt, mortgage, oppression, hunger, nakedness and suffering.
You say so, sir?
Should it come to me, it will be put in better hands to free it from the weight that drags it down. There is a curse on it, and on all this land.
And, forgive my curiosity, how do you intend to live?
Work.
In England?
The family name can suffer nothing to its honor from me. I do not bear it, not in England.
You know, I think, a compatriot who has found refuge there. A doctor?
I do.
With a daughter?
How do you know that?
I have my own means, little nephew. My own ways. And I look to the pleasure of seeing you again in the morning. Sleep well. Light, monsieur, my nephew, to his chamber.
Yes, monseigneur.
And burn monsieur, my nephew, in his bed, if you will.
Mother of mercy, hail our hearts, grant us our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children, grieve to thee.
The Gorgon had surveyed the building again in the night, and had added the one stone face wanting.
the stone face for which it had waited through about 200 years. And by the fountain, the people of the village stare and whisper low, as Monsieur Gabelle, the agent, rode fast from the village. And the man in the blue dusty hat stood quietly by the fountain and washed his hands. The stone face lay on the pillow of Monsieur le Marquis, a fine mask, suddenly startled, made angry, petrified.
Tell me again, Defarge, before I unravel him.
Through the heart. Stabbed through his stone heart.
And the message? The message?
On the hilt of the dagger, a frill of paper. A message. Drive him fast to his tomb. This from Jacques.
And in France, the farmer, Death, had already set apart the wood to be his tumbrils. The tumbrils of the revolution. But the farmer, though he works unceasingly, works silently, and no one heard his muffled tread.
Beautiful, my precious.
Oh, Miss Manette, you... Oh, you play beautifully. I wish I had more time for music. So restful.
You usually sleep when I play, Mr. Stryver. I have noticed you before.
My eyes are closed, perhaps, Miss Manette. Not sleep. Pure pleasure.
Flattery.
I assure you, Miss Pross, it is nothing of the kind. Nothing. To tell the truth, Miss Manette, I work too hard. I am a coming man, of course, and am promised advancement in the next session, but the courts take it out of a man like me. I put my heart and soul into what I do.
I have seen it, sir. Ah. I'm delighted in it. You will remember how we first met you, sir, and what a debt we all owe you.
He fawns on my precious like a... But pushes himself in here to make sheep's eyes of my darling. Shoulderer, someone called him. A shoulderer. A thruster, Mr. Carton said. I say no man's good enough for my little darling. No man alive, save my dear brother Solomon. Yes, and he's lost to me and the world. This one, this Stryver... Look at him, if you can. The face, the belly, the fancy wig. Ugh, a shoulderer.
You're not listening, Miss Pross.
To idle chatter?
Oh, Pross, my love, come along. Mr. Stryver was only passing the time, and that pleasantly enough.
Men pass the time, perhaps. Never pleasantly, my precious, in my experience.
Which must be great, I am sure.
I know enough of the world, Mr. Stryver, to know a man when I see one. My dear brother Solomon now. Oh, a real man.
We have not had the pleasure of Mr. Carton's company, Mr. Stryver.
No.
We had hoped to see him.
Oh, he is a man of moods, Miss Manette.
I sometimes catch him watching, listening when we're all here. He says very little.
A dull man for the ladies. I've told him often enough, take a leaf from Stryver's book. I tell him, be warm, be pleasant, cultivate conversation. He's not the mind for it, and that's the truth. Dull man.
A sad man, I think.
Oh, it's a wasted man. I pick him up from time to time. I have to say it's no easy matter. I offer him this or that crumb, and he bites my hand. It's his nature. But, as you can see, I am a kind man. Would not hold it against him.
But a clever man, a thinking man.
There are those that say he was once the man to watch, but no longer. They see the same in me, and I cultivate it. I am... the coming man. You'll see, Miss Marriott. You will see.
Didn't Mr. Carton take Mr. Darnay from the clutches of the hangman?
Hmm?
Mr. Lorry said as much only the other evening.
Lorry?
Come now, you know Mr. Lorry from Tellson's Bank. He said as much. Carton shrugged and turned the conversation. A modest man, you'll allow, Mr. Stryver.
Oh, indeed. Yet a successful man is even more to be liked, perhaps.
Fiddlesticks.
I beg your pardon?
Fiddlesticks, are you deaf, sir?
Is Mr. Darnay back from France?
Was he there?
Months, 2-3 months. We have not seen him since.
I heard he was teaching students. In Cambridge, there's a dog's life.
Really?
Oh, I assure you, teaching's a dog's breakfast of a profession. But I suppose it's all a foreigner is worth.
A foreigner?
In these times, who can trust a Frenchman,
Or a Frenchwoman, Mr. Stryver?
Oh, indeed. Aren't they all roaring mad?
You forget my father is foreign. Indeed, he is French. Is he roaring mad?
Oh, no. No, you mistake my, of course, I never meant that there is any...
No, I'm sure, Mr. Stryver, you forgot, or did not think.
And no one could begin to think that you were other than English. Your mother...
was English, and I was brought up to be an Englishman.
Indeed.
Miss Bross, sort of a... As for Mr. Danny, he must make his living where he is able, Mr. Stryver. Should you see him, I would be pleased if you could tell him that his face is missed from our company.
And my precious played the piano. And the fat shoulderer smiled and closed his eyes and laid his little hands across his waistcoat. A yellow affair. And fingered the pinchbeck chain across his belly. A yellow affair, and fingered the pinchbeck chain across his belly.